This morning we continue in our series of What Does the Bible Say About That? And we have a tough subject before us again this morning, and I'm going to address biblically abortion, an issue that we face in America, and you know that fight has been ongoing, and it's political sometimes, and there's people on both sides of this, but what I'm going to do is that I don't want to make this a political thing. This is going to be a biblical thing. I'm going to give you some verses today that going to make you think and ponder upon, and what's this about, and what does God say about abortion? As believers, where do we stand? Where should the church stand? Should we stand up and fight against this? And what's the Bible say about those things? And so you're going to learn that this morning. And so we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And if you have noticed, and you've been following along, you notice that we've been in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 quite a bit. And that's kind of a theme verse. And everything kind of is girded underneath that. And that's we have to get that basis in our life of what God is trying to teach us here in Genesis 1, verse 26. So we're going to start there, then we're going to move through Exodus and the book of Psalms as well. I would encourage you this morning to keep your Bible open. I'm going to reference other verses as well as we go through this morning. He's got an outline with you. Keep that handy. They're on there. You can take them home to study them at a later date as well. But let's look at the Word of God. Follow along with me this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so you are getting a deep understanding of who you are. You are created in the image of God. No one else is. No other animal, nothing. But you are. And that's precious. And you need to realize that you have been set apart. And now turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. And you guys, if you know your Ten Commandments well, you will know what chapter 20 has to say and where I'm going with this. Verse 13, it's a pretty short verse. It says, "You shall not murder," and that's a commandment for us, and there's a lot of different things that are tied into that, but so we're going to look at that. But then I want you also to turn to Exodus 21, just flip a page over, and here's where we start to get in the meat more of abortion. Chapter 21, verses 22 through 25, and here's what it says. "If people are fighting and hit a pregnant woman, and she gives birth prematurely, but there is no serious injury, the offender must be fined whatever the woman's husband demands and the court allows. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, bruise for bruise." This is what the scripture says. Pretty straightforward in that thinking there. Now turn with me to Psalm 139, Psalm of David, and we're going to begin at verse 13 through 16 this morning. This is a verse that speaks to all of us because we have all been born. So here's what it says. "For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works and your wonderful And you are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth." Now, when you think about that, so I did some research on that this past week. The depths of the earth, what that really means is the womb. That's what that means. You weren't made in the center of the earth or anything like that, but the writer David's speaking of the womb. The depths of that, the beauty of that, the miracle of new life that God brings forth through women. And then it goes on to say, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." That God has given you life. And remember where that came from. And so that's the word of the Lord this morning. Keep your Bible open if you'd want to. You can follow along with me in other passages as well. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at this topic this morning of abortion, Lord. May the message of love and grace also come through. But Lord, may also truth arise through the midst of all of this. And Lord, I pray that through your Spirit that this would be possible. And Lord, may these words that I've put down on this paper be your words and never mine. Lord, may you fill me with that same Spirit as I bring this message to your people. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here in your house and those that are online watching as well. Lord, may you bless them with that same Spirit. Open their hearts, minds, and souls to hear and receive your word. In Jesus I pray, amen. 48 years ago, on January 22, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion in the infamous Roe v. Wade decision. You've heard about that. You've maybe learned about that, and you're aware of that. But as Christians, we need to remember that what is legal is not necessarily moral in God's sight. And I think I may have told you that sentence last week as well. And so morality is not determined by popular or judicial opinion, but what the Bible teaches us. What's the Word of God say about this situation that's going on in the country that you and I live in today? Now, some say it's a difficult moral issue, and we need to leave room for everyone to be on both sides, and we shouldn't speak into that and let people determine their own outcome and views on this situation. But I also believe that the Bible gives us God's absolute moral standards that apply to every culture and to every age. Since the beginning of time, God continues to speak to us about what truth should be in the world that you and I live in. And I believe that Scripture teaches us what's right and what's wrong when it comes to abortion in our lives. So I'm going to share with you this morning what the Bible says about this situation, this issue. And if you decide to stand with the Word of God, great, I hope that you do. Because that's where God calls us to be, to stand true to the Word of God. And so let me also share with you this morning that you don't get the option to plead ignorance on all moral issues that we face in our country today. God expects us to take a stand in those situations. And so here's a verse that you're going to get that's on your outline, but I didn't read to you this morning. Proverbs 24, verses 11 and 12 says this: "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" And so God says, we do need to take a stand for issues that we come across like this that go against his teaching. You and I are to voice where we stand. We are to maybe encourage what God teaches us and to share that news with others as well. Because God says, I will hold those that do these things, no matter if it's abortion or other types of sins, and they don't ask for that forgiveness and that repentance, I will hold them responsible. I will make this right when judgment day comes, is what God is telling us. And so God also holds you and I accountable to the standards of his word, whether we know those standards or not. It's your job to know them. It's your job to know your Bible. It's your job to learn what Jesus is teaching us in Scripture. That's what we must do. And also, our conscience needs to be informed by Scripture, not by cultural opinion. That's a big statement if you think about it. And so let's dive into this just a little bit here this morning. So before we look at what the Bible says, let me just speak to you briefly about what is abortion, right? Most of you know that, especially you adults, but maybe there's some teenagers or some young people that are in our congregation this morning. This might spark some conversation at home, by the way. If you got young children in your pew this morning or at home watching, they might want to know more about what is this and take some time to teach, to train, to talk about this. But you know that abortion is the extraction or expulsion of a human fetus from the mother's womb with the intent to end the life of that fetus prior to natural birth, to take the life of that baby, of that child. Now, a fetus is a good term, but here's what I want you to think about. We are still talking about a developing human body. And I'm going to get into more depth on that in just a little bit about what Scripture says about that. When does life start and what do we do with that life? But one thing I want you to make you aware of as well, when you hear of abortion advocates, they'll never speak to it as a baby or a child, only a fetus. Because they don't acknowledge that there's actually life there. It's just some made-up material that's growing in the womb. And at the moment of conception, there's new life. Let me just give you an idea. I'm not going to give you statistics today about all the abortions that go on, because I think it's a big number and that kind of can be boring to us. But let me just talk to you about what's going on in the womb. And you guys are mothers out there, most of you, and you know full well more than I do. But you are born with 46 chromosomes, distinct from the mother and father. By day 21, you have a heartbeat in that child. By day 45, there are brain waves that are detected in that child that's developing in the womb of the mother. And by 12 to 13 weeks, they have fingernails. They suck their thumb. They recoil from pain in the womb. They have their own unique fingerprints. The only thing that is waiting for them to develop to be like you and I is time. That's it. Time. Time to grow, time to develop in the womb. And so let's get into the meat of this morning. Let's consider what the Bible has to say about abortion. Since God is the creator and the sustainer of human life, we should value and protect the lives of all innocent human beings. So I'm going to share with you some key points around Scripture this morning that is a biblical view that is against abortion, a biblical view of truth that you and I need to know and understand. And so the first one I'm going to throw at you is Genesis 1 verse 26 again this morning. And let us make man in our image according to our likeness. That's a huge statement. You need to read that often. You need to get that in your mind of who you are. You know, and you're maybe out there this morning and maybe you're feeling a little bit relaxed and maybe you're wondering about, you know, who am I? And maybe you're a little bit depressed, you know, things aren't going well in my life. And I want to just share with you today that you are creating God's image. You are loved for who you are. All the mistakes that you have, the sins that you have, God just loves you because you're creating His image. That's what that means. That's what that looks like. But you know what? God also loves that unborn child in the womb as well, with just as deep a love as He has for you and I in our lives. So that's your first point. The second point I want to talk about is that the Bible forbids us from shedding innocent blood. Now, the Bible clearly commands, you shall not murder, in Exodus 20, verse 13. I read that to you this morning. But the Bible also uses phrases like this, innocent blood. You can find that in the Old and sometimes the New Testament, but roughly this phrase in the Hebrew and the Greek, this innocent blood happens about 20 times. And God condemns any time that innocent blood should be shed. How many remember going through the series of Leviticus a year or two ago? Remember that? We learned about how precious the blood was to God because the blood is the life. And who's the giver and taker of life in this world, people? It's God the Father, right? And so when an abortion is performed, the lifeblood is taken out of the child, and God says, no, that's not how this works because I'm the one who gives and takes the lifeblood. That's what He says. Innocent blood should never be taken. And I even have a verse to share with you out of Psalm 106, verse 38, because this is going on in the Old Testament as well. Now, remember that when I stand here and preach to you, abortion is nothing new in the world that you and I live in. It's been going on for centuries and decades and so on, even in the Old Testament. But in Psalm 106, God chastised the Jews for shedding innocent blood when they sacrificed their children to the idols of Canaan. He says, you are not to do that. You're never to take innocent blood for anything. I'm the life giver. I'll say when that life's over. That's his job, not ours. Never ours to mess with or to do with. Third, let me share this point with you. Prenatal human life is fully human, thus it is precious to God. So let's talk about that a little bit. So consider just a few passages that I'm going to give you this morning. Psalm 139 is on your screen, and it's David's talking about how God formed us in the womb and he knew us, and that great a miracle that goes on in birth. That's what he's speaking to us. But let me just share a few more with you this morning. I want you to just think about this as well. You know, David, he affirms this, the language that God superintended his formation in the womb, but also the Bible repeatedly affirms that God's providence governs everything from the weather, right? You guys get that. He governs animals, he governs our life, our food, our behaviors, all these random events that go on. God's hand works in all those things, as well as the life of this unborn child. And so if God governs these relatively minor things that go on in our lives from day to day, then he also governs the formation of people in the womb. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 4 in your Bible this morning. Grab your Bible, turn to Exodus. I want to show you a verse this morning. Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. Are you there with me? The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Just a simple verse right there. Of everything that goes on in our lives, God's providence is his care for us. He gives us life. He takes care of us. He also knows that child that's in the womb as well. And I wanted to share that verse with you this morning because it's so powerful, the verse, when you think about our lives. So think about this. Birth defects, all right, which science attributes to freak occurrences in nature, but under God's direct care and his sovereign purposes, God allows birth defects to happen in the world that you and I live in. And we can hang that as a result of the sinful world that you and I live in today, that original sin of Adam and Eve. And so we enter into those things. And so I'm going to address that issue here in just a moment, but I want you to keep that in mind, that God is in control of all things. Right? Keep that in mind for a moment, and we'll come back and we're going to talk about birth defects. But let me first talk about this verse in Exodus 21. The Bible ordains the penalty of life for life when the life of an unborn child is taken. Right? I read that to you out of the book of Exodus this morning, chapter 21. And as that verse makes it clear, if there's an injury, then the offender must be penalized. And if they kill that child, life for life should be taken. So the Bible teaches. Now, it's not our life to take, but God's. Judgment day will come. But I must also tell you that that the penalties that we see for this child that we're talking about in Exodus, I can also find for you the same penalty that's laid out for adults in the book of Leviticus. And the Hebrew word that's used is the same word, and I'm not going to give you that this morning, but it says to depart or to come out. It's the same word that's used in Scripture, that whatever happens to that unborn child or it happens to this adult over here, if you take a life, God says the penalty is the same. So if we look at Scripture and we can gather that God puts those on equal level playing fields, what does that mean to you? Does God care more for an adult or more for an unborn child? And the answer this morning is that it's the same. It's the same. There's no difference. And you could even find another Hebrew word that's used for miscarriage in the Bible as well. But it doesn't pertain to this set of verses that I shared with you this morning. You'll find the word for stillborn as well in the book of Numbers. That addresses those issues as well about childbirth and things that go on in the society that we live in. But when abortion's talked about, Exodus addresses it. Leviticus backs it up and says that human life is held to a very high value. And so we must remember that when we look at what abortion is facing and doing to our country today. And so the Bible affirms that a child in the womb is fully human. Now, let me give you some biblical examples. I'm going to rattle some off to you this morning. I don't expect you to keep up with me, but here's a few that I want to give you this morning. One is on the screen, Genesis 25, verse 23. We have the story of Jacob and Esau. Distinct individuals in the womb. God says this about them. And the Lord said to their mother, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, the older shall serve the younger. God is very much involved in the womb. Jeremiah and Paul both acknowledge that God formed them in the womb and he knew them by name. You can look at Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. You can talk about Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1, verse 5. They specifically address that God was their creator in the womb. He gave them life. He sustained them. Samson's mother was never to drink wine or alcoholic drink because her son was to be a Nazarite. And so she abstained from drinking alcohol when she was pregnant. When that child was in the womb. Here's one of the best stories that I can give you. And you know this story well. John the Baptist recognized Jesus while both were still in the womb. Do you remember that story? When Elizabeth and Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, the baby, and Elizabeth jumped and it was moving around. It's right in Scripture. And that John, in the womb, recognized Jesus in the womb. Wow. That's quite something, isn't it? There is very much life in the womb, and God gives it. Now, I can give you a whole lot more examples this morning, but I will not go into those. But that last one about Jesus is very strong. So let me talk to you about this situation. Remember I talked to you about birth defects? What about an unwanted child whose birth would be an extreme hardship? What do we do with those situations? Those are tough situations. Let me just roll that out. And I'm talking hard stuff. What about a child that's conceived by rape or incest? What does God say about that this morning? What about a child that we know when it will be born that it will be deformed? What about a child that we know that has a possibility that could suffer most of its life here in this earth because of the situation it finds itself in, whatever's going on in the womb? What do we do with those two things? Is it okay? Is it the lesser of two evils to abort that child in those situations? That's a good, hard, difficult question, but I'm going to address that this morning. The Bible's clear that in this fallen world, God ordains suffering for his wise and good purposes. Now notice it didn't say that, you know, when you have a child, and I can't speak to that. Some of you that have gone through childbirth, would you say that childbirth is something pretty easy and you look forward to it? Some of you are smiling out there this morning. It's not easy. It's difficult. It's hard. You know, and so you think about what's going on here. God ordained suffering. So I want you to think about birth defects this morning. I want you to think about the brokenness that you and I live in. Because those are things that God says, you're going to go through those things. But guess what's going to happen? Through the midst of those pains and that suffering that you're going to endure, and if you're willing to follow Jesus through it, he says, I'm going to shape you. I'm going to take that bad, evil stuff that's gone on and whatever happened there, I'm going to use it for good. You just watch me what I'm going to do with it. Right? Romans 8, verse 28, it's in the middle of your screen. God works for the good of those who love him. And so sometimes we suffer the consequences of our own sin. Now, I'm not saying because you have a child that might be developmentally, mentally behind others, or there might be a birth defect. It's not a result of the sinful world that you might have caused, but of the sinful world that you and I both live in. So don't hear me say that the problems you have is because of your sins. I'm not saying that this morning at all. I'm saying we live in a broken world and there's nothing that you can do about it. And those things are going to happen to you and I. But sometimes we are going to suffer the consequences of those types of things in our lives. And they include hardships. Unexpected pregnancies. An unwanted child that might have all kinds of issues. And sometimes we might even suffer on the account of another person's sin. And now I'm talking about incest or rape. God lays that out for us as well, too. We might not like it. You know, and I'm not in those shoes as a mother, but God says, it's going to be all right. I'm going to carry you through this. I'm going to take the bad and turn it to good. And I'm going to shape you in the process. I'm going to mold your heart if you're willing to follow me. I'm going to bless this child if you're willing to follow me. Give it life. Maybe it'll have, you know, and I've often thought about this. How many of you have thought this way that in the world that you and I live in today, it's filled with diseases and cancer and viruses and all those types of things go on. What if God already sent the person with the intelligence to bring the cure to those things? But abortion took it away. What if? Now, I believe that God can do amazing, mighty things, and he could send more people or more intelligence to those, you know, you could go all kinds of different directions. But what if God said, you know what, I'm blessing you with people all the time that have intelligence and the ability to do these things that you face, but yet you take the life? How many more must I send? You ever thought about that? Hardship is also a way of life that's handed to us by God our Creator. I mean, I don't have to go very far in this congregation. I can find all kinds of hardship, right? Death, cancer, coronavirus, different handicaps. It's all there, isn't it? And I'm just telling you this morning that if we're willing to follow Christ through the midst of these hard, difficult things, that he will bless you every time. every time. And you're not going to know the reason why you go through the things you go through, but God permits that suffering. He permits it. You know what the greatest part of it is? When you find yourself at the bottom of the barrel and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, what do? You pray a little harder, don't you? You reach a little deeper, don't you? Your faith is just stretched. It's brought to a place you'd never thought you'd go. See, God's creating us. He's building us that for one day that we can live in heaven and experience His greatness. That's what it's really about. I was blessed with an aunt. She's gone to be with the Lord now, Joy. And she was born with mental retardation. She died at the age of 62 here, probably maybe 6, 8, 10 years ago. I'm not even sure. But she lived with my grandparents, and, you know, she brought a lot of joy to our family. She couldn't speak a whole lot. She couldn't understand sometimes the things that we were doing. But she got a lot of things. But you know what? When we went to visit Grandpa and Grandma, it was always an experience. It was always something to look forward to, that joy would always be there. And I just think back, what if my grandpa and grandma would have said, you know what, this is going to be a hardship for us. And what if they would have decided, you know what, we don't want this child. How different would life be for us and our family? And so just remember that. God sends many things into our lives, but yet they can be great blessings to us as well. So let me also speak to this morning. I want to speak to you. If you've already maybe had an abortion, and I know I've talked to some of you ladies in this congregation, or you've been there, but maybe I also want to speak to you this morning. Maybe you've urged someone, just have an abortion and do away with it. All right? God looks at that abortion, and I'm pointing out things this morning that are hard and they're difficult, because when we have an abortion, it's sinful, right? We take the lifeblood. It's not any different. It's not any worse sin than me stealing a pencil from school when I was a young boy or whatever. Sin is sin, all right? But here's what I want to impress upon you this morning, because I know some of you have found yourself here in that situation. I want to share this verse with you. I think it's on the screen. Let me get to the next screen here. Jesus saves sinners. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is for all of us, by the way. This isn't just for you that, well, you know, Rob, I get that you're speaking to me because I had an abortion, whatever it might be. This is for you and I that are sinners. Who's a sinner in here this morning? Every hand goes up, right? Here's the verse I want to leave with you this morning, because I don't want you to leave heavy-hearted and broken. I want you to leave lifted up and encouraged with the goodness of Jesus Christ, because here's what it says. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen? That's what it's about. So if you find yourself in that place today, when I'm talking about abortion, I want you to know that there's a God of love and grace and forgiveness all the way to the end, no matter where you find yourself today. All of God's people said,